Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
To be in the house of God tonight. It's good to be with the people of God tonight. I've had one of those days that just everything has been in a hurry, and just about everything that could go wrong has went wrong. And it's just such a peace to walk into the church, to walk into the house of God, to be with the people of God. And even as you walk in the door, you feel that peace that surpasses all understanding. And you literally forget about all of the things that have happened all day and have taken you off course so many times, so many things the devil has brought up and tried to bring you away from that which you were thinking of or that which God was showing you. And I bless God for the body of Christ to be able to be with you today, to those people who watch at night. And I don't know how many of you know it, but we're on both at night, and we're on in the afternoon at the same time. We come on at 12:30 at night in New York, which actually brings us on at 9:30 in Los Angeles, prime time in Los Angeles. And then we're also on in the afternoon at 12:30 in the afternoon in New York, and at 9:30 in the morning in Los Angeles. So depending on where you are, we come on at different times, and you can set your VCR for the programs that you want to watch. Even if you don't feel like staying up that late, you can set your VCR and watch it. But anyway, let's get on to the Word of God, which is what we're here for. We're here to learn from the Word of God. As I've said so many times, we are not here to be entertained. We are here to learn from the Word of God. And those of you that have your Bibles, and I do hope by this time all of you have your Bibles. I've told you almost every single time we come on to make sure that you have a Bible. And, you know, the Apostle Paul said it's good to remind the brethren. So I'm going to remind you again. I know you may get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to remind you again. Don't believe me. Don't believe anybody else. Don't believe any man. Don't believe any woman of God. But rather get a Bible and check it out for yourself. Read the verse. Make sure it's there. Read the verse before it. Read the verse after it. Make sure it's not taken out of context, that the person is speaking the truth to you from the Word of God. So those of you who have your Bibles, if you would, turn to the Gospel of John. And as you're doing that, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And as you're doing that, I want to back up a moment and share with you, those of you who may not have been able to watch the last few programs, we have been talking about prayer and how to get a hold of God. And we covered a multitude of areas. I shared with you that we have a small booklet track that shares with you the reasons why 95% of the Christians, this is just mind-boggling, but 95% of the Christians get less than 5% of their prayers answered. Now that's shameful. That should not be. Because God is not a liar. God is absolutely true. What He says is true. He says what He means, and He means what He says. Now if you will look in the Word of God, if you will do a study on prayer, you will find out how to get a hold of the Lord. There are certain things that God requires us to do. There is the prerequisite, which we must do. Everybody wants the promise of God, but nobody wants to go through the prerequisite. Everybody, as I've shared before, wants to win the battle, but nobody wants to be in the war. Everybody wants to be on top of the mountain, but nobody wants to climb the mountain. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody wants to win the fight, but nobody wants to be in a fight. You've got to fulfill the prerequisite to get the promises. And for those of you that are there, and you should be by this time, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, And I want to begin at verse 1. Now, at first, it's going to sound like I'm a little bit off of what the scriptures are saying here, but I'll tie all this up and tie it together for you in a few moments. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 said, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word is Jesus Christ, the living Word, the Rhema Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The darkness comprehended it not. Sometimes today I fear that the word darkness there, we could insert the word church. I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. That the light has shined in the church, and the church has comprehended it not. They have not been able to comprehend that which Jesus is speaking to them. Either that, or they just flat out don't want to comprehend what Jesus is speaking to them about. But if we will fulfill the prerequisites, if we will do what God tells us to do, Jesus said, then ask what you will. Ask whatever you will, and it will be given unto you. You know, people limit God. They limit God all the time. And I've heard God in prophecy many times say to a man or a woman that He is going to enlarge the borders of their tent. In other words, He's going to give them a bigger ministry. He's going to give them a greater blessing. He's going to enlarge the area that they minister in. But I'll guarantee you this. In every one of those cases where God has said that, where God has done that, the very first thing that happened is those individuals, that man, that woman of God, whatever the case may be, has first enlarged the borders of God's tent. I want to say it again, to enlarge the borders of God's tent. In other words, to take the limits off of God. Take the limits off of God. A lot of people are praying, Lord, I really need a car. I'll settle for an old 58 Junker that barely runs and is all rusted out. God's not glorified when you get something like that. Is it not just as easy to pray for a new or a late model car, something that you want? That's not going to blow up and burn up and burn out, and you're going to have to spend all your time repairing something that glorifies God, that you can say to the people, look what my God has given me. It's just as easy to pray for that which you have a need of. I'll give you an example right now. I have a need of a much larger home. The home that we have for a time was sufficient. But now that we literally have put the radio studio in our home, we do some of the TV work in our home, and it has literally turned part of my house into what now resembles a warehouse. So I need a much bigger home. And when we pray, my wife and I and the other people in the ministry, we tell God exactly what we need. I don't want a two-bedroom. I don't want a three-bedroom. I don't want a four-bedroom. I want at least a five-bedroom. I would prefer six or seven bedrooms because I need, not greed, I need that much room. By the time we house the ministry staff that actually lives with us, our own children, our family, the radio studio, we need that much room. I would like a deck where I can be alone. I'd like to go out on the back deck and be alone and have my coffee in the morning and study the Word. So I've asked God to make sure there is a deck there. I'd like a deck out front also with a covering over it, and I've asked God for that. And I share all this for this reason, that before very long, I'm going to come back before this very camera, before this very audience, and hopefully I'll bring a photograph and the camera will be able to pick it up, and I will show you the house that God has given us, and it will have everything I just said. Because God is able to do it. God is able to do it. I have fulfilled the prerequisite, and I trust God. Everything that was made, everything literally is in God's hands. You know, when I pray for the house, for example, I do not pray that the real estate people would decide all of a sudden that they like me, or the people that own the house that I would find favor in their eyes. I really don't care. They think they own that house. They think they got some control over it, but they don't. God owns it lock, stock, and barrel. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs unto the Lord. He's got it all. So I ask God, Lord, that house there would be just perfect. Lord, and unless you've got something else, I would like that house. And God has everything that was ever made, because nothing was made without God. He has it all in the palm of his hand. He owns it all. Just as easy for God to take out that house and give it to me. And he's done it a multitude of times. In the past 30 years, God has, I don't know how many times, brought forth the vehicles and the home that I need, brought everything that I need right there. About 20-some years ago, we lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I thank God to this day, he delivered us from there and sent us to a warm place because it would get really cold there in the winter. And the house we lived in was a duplex. We lived in the downstairs part, another family lived upstairs. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, we just don't have enough room. At that time, we had this huge food ministry. We actually had a 5-state food ministry. And I prayed and I said, Lord, we do not have enough room. I can't even store the food in here, much less my family and everything else. So we need at least both the top and the bottom. One week later, the people that lived upstairs gave their notice. They had bought a home and they decided to move. So I was able to get the upstairs also. So we took the upstairs and we only had it about a month or so, and the food ministry kept growing and growing and growing. And then we had a walk-in. I think it was 3 days a week. We'd have people that would walk in off the street. Mothers who would come in with their children, men who would come in who were all alone and had no place to live and had a need of food. And again, I had to go back before the Lord. And I said, God, I thank you. You gave me the whole house. It's still not big enough. God, you have prospered me. You have caused this to grow. And now I need a bigger house. And Lord, as you know, we have held services in here every Saturday night and every Sunday morning. And God, we have got chairs and benches stacked around, boxes of flour and cake mix and pancake mix and everything else. Lord, we need a bigger house. We need a place big enough to have a decent-sized church, to have the offices that we have a need of, and to have the storage room that we have a need of. And I got the ministry together, and we all prayed together, and we prayed in faith, believing God, absolutely believing God. And we go right down the checklist and make sure we have fulfilled all the prerequisites. And everybody had fulfilled all the prerequisites. Everybody was walking in the Lord, was walking in repentance and in holiness. There was no unforgiveness. There was no hidden sin. We prayed for what we had a need of. And it wasn't but about, this is about 4 or 5 days later. I left my home one day and I had to go downtown. As I say, we're living in Minneapolis. We're living in a place on, it's called Pierce Street. And I drove down to the end of Pierce Street and there was a stop sign there and I stopped for the stop sign. And over to my right was a huge 3-story building. It was a full block long and about a half a block wide. That's how big the building was. And as I stopped at that stop sign, God spoke to me in an audible voice. It's only about the third time it's ever happened in 30-some years I've been with the Lord. He spoke to me in an audible voice, and he said, "My son, that is your new home." And I immediately pulled over to the corner, and I got out of the car, and I looked at this place, and I just said, "Wow!" It was like three stories. It was huge. And I walked around to the back of it, and years ago, it had been a community center. And on the back side of it, they had a enclosed basketball court. And they had the complete stage up there and the basketball hoops that came down. And I thought, this would be perfect. We'll take the basketball hoops down. We'll have the stage. And the auditorium there where they had this would probably seat about 550 people. Would be a fantastic church. And it had 20-some different offices on the main floor. The basement was set up, not only was it set up for storage, but it was set up in such a way that it had a huge window, was actually wood, that opened up and trucks could pull up and load and unload. And for the food ministry, it worked out absolutely perfect. So, I mean, it was everything we wanted, and then it had all the living quarters in it, of course. And I went up and knocked on the door. And the man came out, and he answered the door, and I introduced myself, and I said, "I realize you don't have any for sale signs up or anything, but I'm interested in buying this building. Could you tell me how much you want for it, or if you're willing to sell it?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I'm willing to sell it." He said, "I want $200,000 for it, and I want it in cash, all in cash." Well, needless to say, if it would have cost a nickel to go around the world, I couldn't have got out of sight. There was no possible way I could meet this guy's terms. And I asked him if he was willing to consider any other terms, any other way we might be able to work this out. And he was very arrogant, argumentative, and all but threw me off of the steps. There was no possible way he was even going to talk to me. Basically, what he said is, "When you get $200,000 cash, come back and talk to me. Other than that, don't dirty up my doorstep." And I left. And I thought, "Lord, this is strange. I know I've heard from you. I know you said that was mine. And yet the man just threw me off of the doorstep here. Lord, what am I going to do?" Well, I just continued to pray, continued to seek the Lord. And about a month later, I happened to be going down that street again, and I stopped for the stop sign, and there was a lot of commotion going on over there. So I looked over there, and I seen these big trailers over there in this moving company, and this guy was moving out. I parked the car, and I got out, and I walked over there, and I said, "I noticed you're moving out. Did you sell the house?" And he said, "No, unfortunately, I lost it. I couldn't keep up with the payments, and it was repossessed." And I said, "Could you tell me who owns it now?" He pointed to a woman who was standing there, and he said, "She's the one that owns it." I said, "Thank you," and I walked over and talked to this woman for a few minutes. I introduced myself. I told her what had happened. It turned out that she was a Christian lady. Previous to this, she had owned this building, and she had run a Christian school in it. And she had used that gymnasium for the different school projects and school plays and basketball and all of the rest of it. I told her I wanted to use it for a church and all that. And she was just ecstatic about it. She was very happy. She said, "This has been my prayer to God that this building would be used unto the glory of God. That was the reason I bought it to begin with. But I had a hard time finding help and couldn't keep the licensed teachers that I needed, and there was no way I could do it. I told her, I said, I got to be honest with you. I said, I don't really have any money to make a down payment on it. And you know, I know a building of this size is going to require a sizable down payment, and I just don't have it. And I said, what is going to be your total asking price? Now remember, prior to this, it was $200,000 cash. And she said, my total asking price will be exactly what I have into it. She said, I'm asking $80,000 for it. Already it's dropped $120,000. And I said, you know, that's a fantastic price. It really is. What kind of terms are you willing to offer? What can you offer? And she said, you don't have any money to give down? I said, I might have a couple hundred dollars. That would be it. And she said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, you go home and get the couple hundred dollars, and I'll give you payments of $1,000 a month, and you can have the building. Now, that was a lot of years ago, but even at that time, $1,000 a month was not that hard to come by. And we shook hands standing out in that front lawn, and I bought that building. And to this day, I can remember the look on my wife's face when I turned around and went back home and told her that I had just bought that building. And I said, as soon as this guy gets all of his stuff moved out, I've made arrangements with the lady, we're going to move in. By the following morning, he had all of his things moved out. We started moving in. We took down the basketball hoops. We turned the auditorium into a church. We had that packed out in no time. Everybody had their own private offices. We used the basement as a storehouse. We had the trucks coming back and forth for the food ministry, both those that were delivering the food and those that were picking them up for their church and their distribution network. We had everything we needed. And all of this took place because a small group of people with no money, no ability, sat down and believed God. They believed God. That's all it took. They believed God and they prayed. And even though at first, even though when I went there the first time, I was literally, for all intents and purposes, thrown out, God worked it out. That I got to watch the man who threw me off the steps, I got to watch him with his head hung down low, driving off in the distance in his U-Haul trailer. As we were moving in, God had given us that building. And it served its purpose, and we used it and blessed God for it every day until the Lord moved us on. What we've been talking about is prayer. Too many people settle. I hate the word settle. Christians are always settling for something. I have counseled with so many different women whose husbands have been wife beaters. Go out, get drunk, come home, beat up their wife, beat up their kids. And my question has always been why. And truthfully, I've never been able to understand why a woman would stay with a guy who beats her up. I do not comprehend that. But the answer has always been the same, too. In one way or another, she will say, well, I really, you know, at the time I thought that was the best I could do and that I was going to have to settle for him. A church, brothers and sisters, you don't have to settle for anything but the best. All good gifts come from above. Not all good gifts and a few things you have to settle for. God does not operate that way. If you are walking in holiness before God, you are walking in repentance before God, you are following the Spirit, you are obedient unto God, God is going to give you what you have a need of. All you've got to do is remember that. God will give it to you. But you have to have faith. You have to believe, not when you see it, not when you move in. You have to see it when you pray. You have to believe it when you pray. Now, God doesn't always speak to you. Many, many times God does not speak to me. That was an unusual situation. But when I pray and it's a need, it's an absolute need, not greed, it's a need, I believe God. I absolutely believe God, and I absolutely get that which I'm praying for. Because God is glorified when I bear much fruit. I cannot do the work of God without the things I have a need of. And when I go before God, I tell him that. Lord, I'll need this, this, and this to get this job done that you want me to do. And God will provide it, irregardless of what it is. And God is not a respecter of persons. If he will give it to me, he will give it to you. If you will but believe and ask. If you will walk in holiness before God, and there's the key, if you will walk in holiness before God, you will receive that which you have a need of. Time goes unbelievably fast, at least for me. Maybe it doesn't for you. You've got to listen to me. But for me, it goes unbelievably fast when I'm trying to get a principle across to you, a principle that would change your life forever. That you would never have to live the same way again, but rather that you could live and walk and have the promises of God. God doesn't want you to suffer every minute you're here on earth, and all of your happiness and joy is reserved for you up in heaven. Yes, it's there, but you can get a part of it here. God is not stingy. He's not holding out. If you will believe God, he will take care of it. And I pray you do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And we ask you to tune in again next time to the Alarm Call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.